and welcome to this week's podcast with me, Laura Merrilees. Social media is increasingly used for recruitment purposes and can play a key part in securing the right candidate for a role, but it has to be used appropriately and with legal considerations in mind. Today, I'm joined by Joe Jacobs, HR Practice Editor here at Expert HR, to discuss the results of Expert HR's recent recruitment metrics survey that reveals the latest research in this area. I'll also be talking to Susie Munro, Senior Employment Law Editor, about the legalities of using social media for recruitment purposes. So firstly, Joe, as a headline figure, what does the survey tell us about the popularity of using social media for recruitment?
Well, our survey found that almost 7 organisations in 10 are using social media for recruitment purposes. So channels used include LinkedIn, Facebook and Twitter, and these may be used for networking, promoting an organisation or for advertising new roles.
Okay, and that's based on data from how many organisations?
Well, 242 organisations completed our recruitment metrics survey and 169 of them currently use social media.
So 7 organisations in 10 seems quite high. What are the other organisations doing?
Well, some organisations are planning to start using social media for recruitment over the next 12 months, and around 1 organisation in 10 doesn't use social media for this purpose or have any plans to. So that's only a small minority of organisations that have no interest in these channels.
Right, and does social media usage depend on the organisation's size then, do you think, with this?
Yeah, it's more common in large organisations, used by 80% of these respondents. And there are also variations by sector, with nearly 3/4 of private sector organisations using social media.
And are any of the channels more popular than others?
Yes, LinkedIn is the channel most commonly used for recruitment. Perhaps that's unsurprising given it's a business and employment-oriented social networking service, but it's used by nearly 90% of organisations.
Right, gosh, that is a high figure. So what exactly are organisations using LinkedIn for?
Well, LinkedIn tends to be known as a channel employers can use to network and connect with potential candidates. But even though the channels have different purposes, around 1/2 of organisations are still using LinkedIn, Facebook and or Twitter to market the job roles, market the organisation itself and to screen prospective candidates.
That's interesting you mentioned screening prospective candidates because we'll be coming onto that a little bit later. But just going back to the channels, how are Facebook and Twitter used for recruitment?
Facebook's often used to promote organisations as employers of choice, while Twitter's a key advertising tool for new roles.
And is there any difference in usage between sectors?
Yes, there are some very interesting differences. Almost all manufacturing and production organisations use LinkedIn, but this drops to less than 2/3 of organisations in the public sector. Now, this is almost reversed with Facebook and Twitter. While Facebook and Twitter are very popular in the public sector, they're not so popular among manufacturing organisations.
That's interesting. So you just mentioned about screening candidates. What else do we know about organisations looking online at potential recruits?
We found that 3/4 of organisations look at an applicant's online career presence, such as their LinkedIn profile, and more than 1/2 of organisations use social media to headhunt for specific roles.
Susie, does that ring any alarm bells for you?
Yes, organisations do need to be mindful of how they use social media, both in attracting and selecting candidates, to ensure the process is fair and legally compliant. You can draw a distinction between using social media to attract and communicate with candidates and using it to screen applicants by looking at information on social media. The main issues with screening in this way, using information that they may not have intended to be used for those purposes, relate to the potential for discrimination and to privacy and data protection.
Right, okay, so with LinkedIn, for example, people put information on their profiles that, you know, is intended to be work-related, and they'll expect potential employers to look there for it. But generally, that's not the case with other sites, is it? I mean, that's different.
That's right, there's more of an issue with looking at, for example, the Facebook profile of a candidate or searching for references to the person posted by others. Firstly, hopefully it won't come as a surprise to anyone, but not everything on the internet is true, so you have to question the value of trying to do background checks via social media, as you may not be getting an accurate picture of the candidate. And secondly, in traditional recruitment procedures, information about characteristics such as age, disability, race, religion and so on is kept separate and should be used only for monitoring purposes. But if you're looking at someone's social media profile, you're potentially going to find out all kinds of things about them, including relating to protected characteristics.
So the risk of unconscious discrimination is going to be greater, isn't it, if the person making recruitment decisions has seen that information? discrimination.
Yes, and certainly the risk of being accused of discrimination is greater. If you haven't had any access to information about someone's religious or political beliefs or their sexual orientation, you're going to be in a much stronger position to defend an allegation that you discriminated against them because of it. Also, you may be getting all kinds of irrelevant information, and you may not be getting information that is relevant. And that's important if you're trying to compare candidates. You're not basing the comparison on standardised information, so you're not comparing like with like.
Okay, so looking at the other side of the coin, as it were, are there any circumstances where it's appropriate and helpful to look at candidates' social media?
Yes, sometimes it is going to be a good idea to carry out those kinds of checks. For example, if the role itself is related to social media use, and you're asking them questions in the recruitment process about their own social media presence, or if it's a senior public role, and there could be reputational risk if something was uncovered, say if they'd made offensive or controversial posts in the past. If you do decide to carry out screening, you need to comply with the data protection principles, and that includes informing the candidate that screening is part of the process. You should also allow them to respond if you find something that you think is a sign that they're not suitable to be hired.
Is there anything else organisations should be aware of in this area?
So if you're using social media to attract candidates, so not screening, there are still potential issues around discrimination. If you're really focusing on social media to the expense of other recruitment channels, you're not going to be reaching potential applicants who don't use social media, and that's likely to mean you're not reaching as many older candidates. So you need to use it alongside other tools for attracting candidates to make sure you're not putting anyone at a disadvantage, whether that's by age, gender, race, disability, or another protected characteristic. Aside from protecting against potential discrimination claims, from a business point of view, you want to make sure you're not narrowing the pool you're recruiting from to make sure you can find the best people.
Okay, thanks, Susie. Now, going back to the survey for one moment, Jo, do we know much about other digital channels?
Well, about 40% of organisations interview by Skype, and more than a third accept digital CVs. Now, that's when the applicant provides a link to an online portfolio, video or LinkedIn profile, for example.
Okay, and are there any other channels that you haven't mentioned at all?
Yes, we asked about Instagram, Google+, and YouTube, but actually only around 5% of organisations use these for recruitment purposes.
Okay, now, are there any findings on the type of jobs that organisations in particular use social media for?
Well, almost two-thirds are using it to recruit for most of their roles, but specifically we found more than one-third of respondents largely use social media to attract candidates for hard-to-fill areas of the business. A quarter are using it to recruit for senior professional roles, and just under a fifth of respondents use it to recruit younger employees.
Right, so organisations are often thinking about their particular audience before going ahead and using those channels. But as Susie was mentioning earlier, you just need to bear in mind considerations around age discrimination when you're appealing to a particular audience. Now, I imagine social media is used in conjunction with other recruitment methods, but what do we know about the benefits of using social media specifically in recruitment?
Well, cost is a huge benefit. Almost three-quarters of respondents believe it's a cheaper way to attract candidates than using traditional recruitment methods, and almost half think it's more time efficient too.
Okay, and any other benefits?
Yeah, many respondents feel that social media is a good way to promote the organisation as an employer. It's easy to use, and as we mentioned, it's useful to target specific groups of employees, such as the younger generation or potential recruits in areas where there are skill shortages.
Okay, it's all really interesting, and you can read the full results of the social media and recruitment survey on Expert HR and see the full data on benchmarking. Susie, where can you point organisations for further information?
So we've got a model policy on the use of social media, and that includes using social media in recruitment, and our employment law manual covers this in the sections on attracting suitable candidates and on selection.
Well, thanks, Susie, and of course, Jo, and that brings us to the end of this week's Expert HR podcast, which you've been listening to with me, Laura Merrilees. We'll be back next Friday, but until then, it's goodbye from us.